Blog Talk Radio.
Church Hour, and I am your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken 65, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 10:34 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is the 10th of July, and we are glad to be here. Glad to be here for a late night time in God's Word. I want to thank you guys for being up. Those there, I see you there, Vivian, Vine, God bless you. Those that's on Periscope, those that's on Blog Talk Radio, those that will be listening later. Call in number here, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. For those who might like want to call in for prayer after the blogcast, we'll give you opportunity to do that. It's going to be about an hour-long teaching, and then we'll get phone calls for those who would like to call in for prayer. Maybe you want to discuss some of the things that we've been going through this week in our nation. There's, I want us to be encouraged that our help does come from the Lord. For anybody that our help comes from the Lord. We cannot trust in man alone, and we should not put our trust in man. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. It doesn't mean that we cannot trust in human beings, but when it comes to truth, when it comes to life and godliness, we must put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. And all mankind without Christ will disappoint you. Intentionally and unintentionally, we will disappoint other people. Even Christians disappoint people. So we need to put our faith and realize that our help does come from the Lord. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. You can start calling in now. You can actually listen to this broadcast through the phone lines. You can by calling in. And we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. as we continue on. Out of our series in the book of Proverbs, we've been going through the complete book of Proverbs, so you could be able to tune in to over 600, catch over 600 Bible lessons on the Blog Talk Radio program at Minister Big Ken 65, which you should be able to see the link on my Facebook page. And for those, please continue to pray for this ministry, pray for my health, pray for I got a lot of things going on with the VA and things like that. I'm trying to get my disability and Veterans Connected, Service Connected Disability. So please pray. And if you can support this ministry financially, please go to the GoFundMe link there that's on the page, and do so as you are led to do. Amen. All right, let's have a moment of prayer, and we'll get into our lesson, the Understanding Bible Authority Through the Biblical Examples of God's Word. Understanding Bible Authority. Father God, we thank you for this evening, Lord God, and we thank you for those who are here right now. They could be asleep, they could be with their families, Lord, but they're here right now. And we just ask, Lord God, that each and every one of us would be stimulated to love and good deeds. As we see as we see evil and we see malice and wickedness and so much lawlessness going on in the land, Lord, We see that we need to know as believers, Lord, the root cause of it, which is Satan, the enemy of our souls. Right now, Lord God, we need to pray for those who are committing these lawless acts, police or civilian, Lord. We lift up those who are living righteous, those who are doing the right thing, Lord. We ask that you protect those police officers as well as civilians. Most of all, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, for your protection and a revival to break loose in our hearts and in our nation. We have kicked you out of America, Lord God, but we only call you back in when all hell breaks loose. And it's time for the church to be about our Father's business. So we ask right now, Lord God, that we would get a biblical perspective and turn our hearts to having a biblical worldview in these dying times, Lord. And we pray for hearts to be changed and souls to be resurrected, that they would no longer be dry bones, but they would be fleshly beings that have been given a new heart and transferred into a relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. May I decrease, and may you increase in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. All right, we're going to be talking about biblical authority, and if you see my eye kind of closes because one of my eyes is really bothering me, and my contacts are kind of old right now, so I'm having some problem with my vision, so bear with me. If I miss a word, please don't hold that to my account that I can't read. It just means that I'm having problems seeing the screen with one eye. Amen? So we've been talking about what does it mean to have this understanding of biblical authority. Well, as Christians, friends, we're not governed by the world system per se. Even though the world, we live in the world, we're not of this world. We are children of the day. We are children of God. We have been called out of the world to live a life that brings glory to him by way of obedience to his word. So we must have a biblical mindset. We must have a biblical authority, a biblical worldview. And our worldview has to be based on scripture and not on scripture. And what I mean scripture is people that like to cut and paste their Bibles a lot. So we need to have a biblical understanding in these last days, especially, friends, because I promise you, and I'm no prophet or son of a prophet, but I believe with this with all my heart. When they start gathering folks away and taking folks, when they put you under authority of the system, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, I believe that, hey, you ain't going to have no Bible there. You're not going to be able to grab your Bible, your sword. They're not going to let you have a Bible in prison like they do now. Do you realize you can have a Bible in prison while you're in prison right now? As it is, but you cannot have a Bible in the classroom. Why are they so afraid of the Bible while you're in the classroom? But they're not afraid of the Bible, of you having a Bible in prison. But see, when this whole system starts to change, when they start to come knocking on your door and asking you, what are you affiliated with? And if you're a quote-unquote Christian that's born again and you're very strong in your belief, and especially like somebody like myself that broadcasts and do broadcasts and radio programs, they're coming. So we need to get this mindset, and we need to get in our word more, and we need to really, really be continuing to put the word in our heart. Remember in Psalms 119, David said, "The word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And that's so true in these last days, friends. We need to realize, and I posted some things up about FEMA camps and things like that. Some people might think it's conspiracy hogwash, but that's okay. Look at what's going on right now. And see, I've been past some of these places that look kind of strange at night. They're out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I didn't think about it too much then, but guess what, friends? Who's to say they're not? They did it before. Asian Americans that were here during the time of the Japanese War, they had camps for them. So guess what? It's not going to change. When they want to get rid of you, or when they want to isolate you, when they don't want you to speak on things, this is what they're going to do. They're going to try to silence you. So we need to have a biblical mindset. It's not for us to go out there and try to tear down the government and be radical and protest in an unlawful manner. But we need to have a biblical understanding of what's going on in these signs, in these days of lawlessness. As Matthew's gospel told us, that there would be times of lawlessness, and we're living in this time. And I think we need to get back to our heritage, which is the Word of God, if we truly are authentic Christians. Because, see, there's a lot of people that's really goats pretending to be sheep. So we need to understand who, we need to examine who we are and make sure that we're walking with God. So we need to look at it. In this lesson, we will study God's authority principle, looking at three biblical examples or Bible examples that illustrate that Bible authority. Objective, the listener should be able to use each of these examples to illustrate the principle of Bible authority, to impress upon the hearer the importance of being able to understand and explain Bible authority. Colossians 3:17 tells us this. Colossians 3:17, end up turning the page. We need to have our Colossians 3:17, he tells us here, he says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we're commanded to, whatever we do, that we should do it for God's glory. We should do it in his name. You know, what we do is a reflection of who we really are. Surrender or submit ourselves to. If we say we're Christians, our allegiance is to Christ first and foremost. If our allegiance is to United States or a human or even a father, mother, there is a certain role that we have. But our role, our first priority is to do all to the glory of God. Paul is writing to impress upon the brethren at Colossae, how the resurrection of Christ demands for Christians a changed life. When we see lawlessness out here in the streets, all over, anarchy going on in certain parts of the United States, or when we see that even across the world, like in other foreign countries, friends, we should feel some form of, wait a minute, this is not of God. I remember, you know, I left in 2004, but I remember when I came home from the Gulf War in 1991. In 91, in 92, we had a civil unrest here in L.A. with the Rodney King's riots. And we saw that how lawlessness had taken over. Was it justified what the cops did? No. But was it right what all other people were doing in tearing down their neighborhoods, tearing down their communities, burning up buildings that were owned not just by blacks and Hispanics and Asians, but they were owned by people. People made in the image of God. And we, friends, have a responsibility and a duty to be children of God at all times when it comes to, and I bet you some of the people that was doing this were some of the people that quote-unquote go to church. But see, it just goes to show you, going in a building won't make you saved or make you righteous no more than me walking in a hospital will make me a doctor. We all have to go through the portal of regeneration and transformation. We must be born again so we can live a life that will be pleasing to God, and we can love our neighbors unconditionally, not based on color, not based on creed, but based on the fact that we were once far away from God, but God brought us back into a relationship with him by way of the cross, by way of the blood. He justified us, and then he sanctified us. I'm still going through the portal of regeneration through sanctification now, and you are too. None of us have arrived. And we have to keep a biblical mindset. When we hear people mouthing off or saying things that are racist statements, we need to say, oh no, that's not a color issue, that's not a skin issue, that is a sin issue. That's a sin issue. And this is what the Bible says about the heart being desperately wicked, and we take them to the Word of God in Jeremiah 17:9. Because our hearts used to be poisoned with that same sin until we had the antidote. The antidote was Christ. So we have to be cautious. We have to be mindful. He mentions that we must put to death our members upon the earth. In other words, We have to crucify our evil, wicked, malicious, ungodly, unholy. We have to crucify all those things, all those sinful things that resonate inside of us. Because, see, you and I know when we get angry, some of us start to express that anger in things that come from the heart. And when it comes from the heart, God says it's not what went into you that defiled you. It's what came out of you in Matthew 15, because it comes from the heart, and the heart is still has some residual sin, even for the believer. We cannot get caught up into a color issue of black and white, even though we all are made up of different colors, but that's not really the heart of it. You put 2 and 3 year olds in a sandbox and let them play. They don't know the difference. They don't know anything about color. They have not. That's not their focus. If they're gonna not like each other, it won't be because of color. And anytime you hear kids mouthing off racial slurs, they got it from their parents or somebody, some adult. So Paul mentions here that he mentions that we must put to death our members. That's anything that's not of God. We need to crucify that. It starts in our thinking, though. We have to die to that. That's why it's important that we don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind gets renewed in the Word of God. When you and I pick up the Word of God and say, Lord, what is it that I need to know about my mind and how I think? How should I think about this? Or how should I think about that? I need to have the mind of Christ. If Christ was a racist, then I would be justified in being one. But I will never be justified because he loved those sinners who were unlovable. He loved the prostitute. He loved the harlot. He loved all of those, but he didn't love them in that they would stay in sin. He loved them enough that he drew them out of sin. His love for them caused them to look at themselves and say, I need to make a change. And they had to put their faith in the one who was able to change them. See, this is the beauty of the cross, friends. God didn't require me to come prepared, come ready. He just requires me to come broken. As like one out in the wilderness, in the desert, begging for food, begging for water. It's like, look, he doesn't require me to come in and come in perfect. He doesn't say, hey, go get yourself cleaned up and then come back and talk to me. No, he doesn't do that. That's what all the other religions will do. This relationship requires me to come broken and come open and naked before him and say, Lord, I am filthy. I am wretched, I am unholy, I am unclean, but guess what? You are able to clean me up. And I surrender. That's all God requires, surrender, yield, give it up. That's how we put to death. The life of a Christian is rather to be filled with love, peace, and the words of Christ. In verses 14 through 16, he tells us here in this same chapter, Colossians, he says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together. See, friends, we can cure this world if everyone had a love for Christ, then we can love one another. Because, see, it starts with our relationship with him, and in Christ we understand what true love is. In him we understand that love is agapeo. It means it's selfless. It doesn't require me to get my will across. It's because of his will that I'm only here doing what I'm doing now. I could be asleep right now. I'm here to give you this hope because God has given it to me. I'm here to exhort you and admonish you and love on you with the word of truth. Too many people are out here trying to tell people how to, man, the white man this, the black man this, the Hispanic this, the Asian that. That's not love. No, that's not of God. God wants to give us, he wants to teach us how to love those who might not be of the same color, who might not be of the same ethnicity. They might have came from different walks of life. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't love the sin. I will never ever commit to the sin and say that it's righteous or justified. But I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them with God's love. And I'm going to let them know that God will not allow you to sin your way into the kingdom. Just like I can't be a fornicator or adulterer or a liar or thief or whoremonger. I can't do those things and get into the kingdom. It doesn't work like that. That's how we love people, with the truth. 2 + 2 = 4 in every country you go to. 2 + 2 = always 4. If I start to tell you it's 8, 7, 6, then I'm lying to you. I could be very sincere in my lie, but I'm still lying to you. And I don't think you would appreciate that, and you wouldn't want to hear nothing I had to say after that. But we have people that want to go around telling us, or want to reprogram us to think as they think instead of to have the mind of Christ. And that's where God is calling us to have his mindset, to have a mindset for him and him alone. He tells us here, let me go back, 14. He says, above all these, put on the love which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is Paul. This is powerful. See, for one thing, these are all verbs, and it's all put in the sense of let the word of Christ in verse 16 dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Back here in verse 15, he told us here, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In other words, you and I have a responsibility to allow God these characteristics of who we are in Christ, we're to allow them to permeate, to resonate, to blossom out of us. See, so many people tell me nowadays, I just can't love people. Well, you're not letting the word of God dwell in you richly. You're not letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. See, if I want to rule my heart, then all I got to do is start to think like I used to think, walk like I used to walk, talk like I used to talk, and then therefore, what happens? That means the old man that was inside of me starts to rule and reign, and that's not of God. Because I am basically stifling, and I'm hindering and suppressing the Holy Spirit from doing what he's supposed to do in me. And that's to make me more like Christ and less like Daryl. We are commanded by Scripture, and this is where we talk about biblical authority. Biblical authority. See, if we just read the Bible like it's some comic book, we're just going to laugh all day. But if we read it as God taught us to read, if we read it and study and dig into it, it will be like a treasure chest of gold that when we open it up, we can just start to scrape the nuggets off of it. But God didn't want us to read this book just for information. He wants us to read it with information that will bring dedication. Well, information that when we do, it's application behind it, and then there's dedication in our walk and our lifestyle. Because God wants us to be more like him and less like ourselves. We are here to be ambassadors for the glory, for his glory. He tells us also, summing up in point number 4, summing up everything, he says that whatever one does in this life should be done in his name, in the name of Christ. Look, where I take myself, and I'm not talking about sinless perfection. We all going to blow it, friends. I know I have. We're going to blow it. But guess what? Are we, out of 7 days out of the week, how many days are we giving to the flesh, and how many days are we giving to Christ? How many days are we really doing all to his glory, all for Jesus Christ? Are we giving our flesh away, giving our bodies away so they can use us? Or are we giving ourselves away for Christ to use us? The phrase in the name means by authority of. It's just like if a policeman comes to the door, what do? They come in the name of the law. Open up, police. They knock on your door. FBI, if it was military people coming in, they have authority. We gain valuable insight into Bible authority when we look at the example of Noah and the ark. Turn with me to Genesis 6:13. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. Here's a good one, because there was great authority given to Noah during this time. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with the pitch. This is how you are to make it. Now notice that God gave him specific authority or specific instructions, but he had authority, of course. He's God. But he goes on, and if you read all the way down, you'll see how he gave him all this authority. When he gets to verse 21, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in those in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. So we see here again how God, because he told Noah what to do, there was a flood, a great flood. We see here God commanded Noah to make an ark. God used specific details in how Noah was to make the ark. God established a covenant with Noah. In this example, God issued Noah several direct statements. Many of these statements were in the form of command. Direct statements authorized the subjects of the statements to carry out the content of the statement. When God specifies an item, gopher wood is an example, it is exclusive of all other items that could possibly be used. See, nowadays, friends, in today's churches, when you're specifically told, we're specifically told how to worship, you got people doing anything and everything in some of these quote-unquote churches. There are certain liberties that we've been given, but there are certain things that are coming into the church now that's just not of God. Folks are coming in there twerking. You know, they crip walking in church. They're doing stuff that's not of God. But we want to talk about that, oh, well, we got freedom to do this. No, we don't have freedom. The world is not supposed to look at us and say, oh, y'all doing the same thing we doing. Because next thing you know, well, I ain't going to say next thing, this is a true example. Now, you know, hey, shacking up, you know, sex outside of marriage, all that is normal behavior, quote unquote, in the new age, new Babylonian church that we have. We have this ideology that marriage is basically obsolete. The new I do is I'll shack up with you and you'll be my boo. And that's a form of, you know, marriage. You're my boo. So we're gonna move in together and we're gonna have all the relationships of a husband and wife, but we're not gonna practice, you know, walking with God. And this is going on worldwide. This is worldwide. This is a new standard of righteousness, because we don't think of God's word when it comes to sex. We'll say, oh, I gave my tithes. I go to church. I got my suit on. I'm on the auxiliary choir. I've done this. I'm doing this. Pastor, look at me. I'm vacuuming the church. I'm doing all these services. I'm working in the church. I'm busy, but my lifestyle outside the building is quote unquote of the world. But don't judge me, because hey, you can't judge me. You can't say nothing to me. You can't tell me what to do, what not to do. You're right. God already told you. I'm just in agreement with Him. I don't have no authority to tell you anything except what says the scripture. And what you do with it is between you and God, but the bottom line is this. God's word never comes back void. It never comes back void. The consequences of disobedience is still going to be God's consequences. He still will chasten His children, and if you're not His children, He'll let you do that for the next 30, 40, 50 years. You notice that some people have been doing this for 30, 40 years. That's because they're not His children. He only chasing His children. He only discipline His children. He's not going to discipline an unbeliever, because unbelievers are of the devil. And everything that they do by the authority of their father, the devil. So we got to get it. We're talking about church. He says God's covenant with Noah was based on Noah's respect for God's authority. Who are you respecting? Who are we respecting? Who am I respecting? Do I believe this 66 books are God's word, or do I believe, oh, that's the white man's book? Do I believe this book is God's breathed authority, or do I believe that this was man's book that he written. I know this can be man's writing. You know why? Because he wouldn't have wrote a book like this. It deals with the heart of man. Man doesn't want to deal with his own heart. He'd rather go sit on Dr. Phil's couch than to sit on Jesus. How do we apply these lessons? God authorizes by direct statement today. Imperative, Matthew 28:18, we see here. He told us to go. Some of us still haven't went yet. Go and tell them. Matthew 28:18. My computer is moving real slow. He says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So we see here that the authority that he has, all authority has been given to Christ. See, that's why when you don't make Jesus Lord, but you just call him your Savior, when you just say, oh, Jesus Christ he's my Savior, he's my dog, he's my friend, he's this, he's that, but you're not calling him Lord, you basically minimize his authority, his deity, you basically suppress his very nature, and you make him on the same level of every other quote-unquote spiritual guru, but you don't put him in his proper place. You don't put him in his proper category. He is God Almighty, who came down here from heaven, clothed in flesh, who took upon man's sinfulness, and he went to Calvary's cross with it. And he didn't just go to the cross because he didn't have nothing better to do. He went to the cross because he was following the authority of the Father. Again, he says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If you don't believe that, then you won't think of Jesus as God, the Son. In the beginning, John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You imagine God leaving in heaven. God leaving heaven. The Son of God leaving heaven with all authority, all power, and he left. And he came down here to die for sinners. He came down here to die for sinners. He spent 33 and a half years on planet Earth. He walked among sinners. He only had 3.5 years of ministry. In those 3.5 years, he raised up 12 men that would change the world. One of them was a defector, but he raised up 12 men that would change the world. So don't tell me what God can't do. Even today, the gospel is still, maybe not as much, you don't see the breakout in America like it once was, but there is still a revival going on in this country, in little pockets around the country, but there's a revival going around in the world. God's word won't come back void. God's word will not come back void. Turn with me also to John 3:16, what we already know. For God so loved the world that For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Are you one of those? Are you one of those that truly have embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Messiah, as Yeshua, as the one, the only one that is able to take away your sin? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ came and died for sinners? And that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And that you need to be forgiven of your trespasses and sins. And that your sins need to be taken to the cross. And that you need to be washed in and purified by his blood. Now, you won't literally get a blood bath, but you will get a symbolically, Christ's blood is still shedding over those who request, those who desire to be born again. Those who will confess their sin and ask him for forgiveness. And turn away from their sin. So you're not going to get into heaven with this, oh, well, I confessed my sins and I repented of my sins, but you don't even know what repentance is. Repentance is I've got to make a U-turn away from those things which I love or loved. Because, see, once I start to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I start shedding off that fornication and immorality of sexual immorality. I start shedding off drunkenness and drug abuse. I start shedding off those things that God hates. And I start to pick up what God loves. I need to start knowing what it means to love a sister without being in a sexual relationship. I need to know what it means to love a brother without it being, what can I get out of it? How is it going to, hey, well, I ain't going to love nobody unless they doing something for me. No. That's not the spirit of God. It's not the spirit of God. See, love is selfless. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't seek its own. We said the first one was imperative, Matthew 28:18, indicative, John 3:16, interrogative, Romans 6:1. Turn with me to Romans 6:1. Amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. He says, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And it was a rhetorical question that Paul was asking to these Romans believers. He says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In verse 2 he says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? In other words, how can we live being a slave to sin when we've already died to it? If you truly have given up your life for Christ, and you're no longer a slave to sin anymore. Other moods, hortatory, optative, and infinitive. When God specifies by direct statements, we are to respect God's authority. Women praying, 1 Timothy 2:8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Point 3, when God authorizes in a general way, we must use expediency to respect God's authority, Acts 2:38. Our covenant with God today is based upon our respect for God's authority, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you doing the will of the Father? Am I doing the will of the Father as a habit of my lifestyle? I'm not talking about you having a slip. I'm not talking about you stumbling. I'm not talking about you get caught up in a transgression. We all get caught up in them. But let's not make any mistakes, friends. It's never, ever justifiable. When we mess up, we fess up, and we get up. You mess up, you confess it. You seek God's forgiveness for fellowship. This is not for salvation. But this is not a round table we just spin around and around and pick up sin every time we come back to the starting point. No, that's not the attitude here. We want to be holy because he's low. He says our covenant with God today is based upon respect for God's authority. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Don't let these pastors fool you with this, oh, I confess my sin. I went down the aisle. I filled out a card. Oh, then 15 people laid hands on me and all. No, that don't mean nothing. Some people, do you realize some people make a profession of faith because their best friend was there and did it, and they didn't want to be left out? They heard the message. It touched them, and they was excited, and they were all goosebumpy, and they felt real emotional at that time, but they really weren't committed. They really haven't understood what it really means to be under the covenant, under the authority of God's word. Because, see, some people will give their life to the Lord today, and then they don't pick this Bible up for another 6 months. How do you think you're going to grow without knowing? Remember, there is no true dedication without application. And with application, there comes a constant yearning for the word of God. Peter tells us that, hey, as sincere babes, we desire the milk of the word. If you truly are a believer, you should have a desire for God's word and growing in it. It should be something that you want to do and you're doing consistently. We see here in Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, we see, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. You imagine that these were priests in training. These were sons of Aaron. Aaron was a Levitical priest. You see what happened here? These folks, playing games, just like you got some bootleg crackerjack preachers out here that playing games. They're not sincere about the word of God. They're not sincere about souls. They don't really care if you live or die as long as you bring them a tithe. They're there for the money. They're there to get their riches. They're there for status and power. Because pastors have a lot of authority. They have a lot of power. And a lot of these pastors, I ain't saying all of them, but a lot of them are sexually immoral. They're sleeping with a lot of women in the congregation. Some of them have mega churches and a mega stable of women. Exodus 30, verse 7 and 9, he says that the incense is to be a perpetual offering and that no strange incense is to be burned upon it. So these, what happened with Nadab and Abihu, they were burning incense that was not part of the religious service of that time. There were certain required fragrances that the Lord received. He didn't receive every incense because some of those incense, some of those fragrances were for pagan gods. Amen. Jesus Christ. They were for pagan gods. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, no burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offerings thereon. So they were told that God said, I want a specific thing done here when it comes to you coming in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, in the Holy of Holies. You can't just come in there and do what you want to do. But today, we got churches that people just do whatever they want to do, worship any kind of way. The house of the Lord is not a house of the Lord for some people. It's basically a meat market. Some people go there to pick up a new girlfriend. Some go to pick up a husband. They're not going there to pick up Jesus. Really, we should have Jesus in us, but I'm saying that tongue in cheek. We should be gleaning from the word of God. We should go into the house of God ready to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul and build us up in our most holy faith. I'd be more than happy to answer anybody's question at the end of this broadcast. You can call in right now, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468, about 11:35, we're going to break off here if I don't finish this up. But I have to finish. I'm trying to finish this up. Leviticus 16:12 says the high priest must take the fire from the coals of the burnt offering to offer the incense in the Holy of Holies upon the Day of Atonement, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. They offered instead strange or unauthorized fire and were consumed by God. Lessons of Bible authority from this example. God is not pleased with those who disrespect his authority, no matter how small a matter it may be. The men were authorized, the incense was authorized, the censer were authorized, the place of worship was authorized, but the fire was not authorized. God's silence in regard to areas where he has specified something does not mean we can use whatever we want. See, that's what we get pragmatism from. People just try to throw up anything and everything. It's kind of like, we just throw this up in. If it works, if people drawn to it, then that's what we'll use. That's a form of pragmatism. That's going on in a lot of charismatic churches right now. We're just doing anything. We say, oh, it works. It's drawing millions of people to it. And you know how many billions of people died the day Noah got into the ark and closed the door because they didn't want to worship God? See, don't ever get caught up in numbers, friends, and think, oh, I go to a big mega church, and only 12 people God used to turn the world upside down. He's not concerned about how many people get in. He just wants the people that want to be, that want to worship him in spirit and truth. How do we apply these lessons? We should respect God's authority in all things as we can expect punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what's going to happen, friends, when people, those who will continue to keep, that will continue to disrespect or not follow God's authority. And we want to take God's scriptures and twist them and pervert them and make them, it's like this whole prosperity movement. Oh, God wants you to be rich. You cannot justify it in the Bible. Jesus didn't teach that in the Bible. Paul didn't teach that in the Bible. Timothy didn't teach that. They all taught contrary to this. And God told us not to seek after things down here, but things above. That's a commandment. He didn't tell us to go after riches, which fade away, that rust. He told us to go seek him first in the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And let me tell you something, friends, if God wanted to make, if he made every one of us rich and we had a covetous heart or a greedy heart or greed, a sinful nature of greed, I promise you we wouldn't be trying to worship him. We'd be trying to buy our stuff and get what we want out of it, because that's how our nature is built. Anything that will take me away from God, keep it away from me. I'd rather somebody else bless me with something than for God to just give me a bunch of money. I'll take the little bit. Give me my daily bread. That's what Jesus told us how to pray. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Too many people out here trying to act like that we all promised riches. Even all of Israel didn't get riches. And while they're reading the blessings in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, after that, you got over 50 verses that deal with the curses. So, which one do you think he was dealing with harder? Let's go back. I'm going to finish this up. He says, we need to worship. He says, the phrase, it doesn't say not to, is not sufficient. That's how a lot of people say, well, the Bible don't say I can't do this. The Bible don't say I can't do that. Well, Paul made it clear. He said, all things, he says, let's go here. First Corinthians chapter 6. Because I like to make sure I don't take nothing out of context. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when Paul said this, so we can get to the nuts and bolts of this. He says, all things, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6, 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I would not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. So Paul is basically telling us real clearly here that, look, whatever it is, it might not specifically say you can't do that, but if it's going to cause you to be ensnared into a trap, if you're going to be entangled in that, if that's going to cause you to stumble eventually, it's like, hey, I have the authority to have a glass of wine. I don't have the authority to get drunk. I don't have the authority to walk around and be somebody that's drunken on my and teeter-tottering all around. That right there, I'm causing another person to stumble. Especially as a Christian, I'm supposed to be setting an example. As a man of God who believes his calling, his teaching, then it would give you an opportunity to say, well, wait a minute. The preacher over here drunk, and he's trying to teach the word of God. What are you on? See, that wouldn't be beneficial to you. That would be a deterrent away from you, I mean, for you towards God. Because of my statement or my action, I would be sharing with you that, hey, I'm justifying drunkenness. When the Bible clearly tells us that drunkards won't get into the kingdom of heaven. We need to worship. Worship is to be in spirit and truth. John 4:24 tells us that God disapproves of progressing beyond his will and inventing new and innovative ways of worshiping. 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He hath abided in the doctrine of Christ. He hath both the Father and the Son. 1 Corinthians 4:6 says, now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things which are written. In other words, this is what we call, it's the word exegete, means to draw out the truth. Context of a passage, and there's eisegete, means to interject something that's not in the passage. That's where you get this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, prosperity preaching going on. It's called eisegeting. Really what it's called is perverting the text. If I want to make you believe that, hey, you're supposed to be rich, well, my question has always been to these false teachers who promote this, if you're supposed to be getting this blessing from God, why are you asking me for the blessing? Did I step on some toes? Think about this. They say God is going to pour out a blessing on them, yet they beg the congregation for the blessing. See, this is what happens when we don't have a mind of Christ, when we don't have discernment and wisdom, my friend. We will get caught up into the lies of these pimps. That's why these guys raise mega millions. And they're teaching garbage, Pop-Tart sermons. And they're driving around in their Rolls Royces. They're not helping souls. They're damning souls. Peter wrote about them. Jude wrote about them. Paul wrote about them. These false prophets who claim to be prophets are no more than tools of the devil sent by him to come and kill, steal, and destroy teach heresy among the sheep. And we, you and I, friends, we have a word, we have the truth, and we have the Spirit of God in us so we can discern what is good and evil. That's why we have authority. I don't have to listen to a pimp preacher. I can look just what it says about the pimp preacher. He always talking about money. He always talking about blessings. And the blessings don't have nothing to do with your soul. They have everything to do with your wallet. Friends, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Jesus said it best. He says, hey, when that foolish man was standing up there talking about he was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns, what did he say? You fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. I don't want to die like that. I'm not going to die like that, chasing after greenbacks. Money going to fade away anyway. One day they're going to go to a cashless society. We need to be focused on Christ and him crucified and not cash, which is going to perish. Nahum the leper. We're talking about these people of authority, these examples of authority, how they walked in authority. 2 Kings chapter 5. Nahum was a Syrian captain. He had a terrible disease called leprosy. He sought out someone who could cure him, which was Elijah. Elijah took him and bathed him. He was told what must be done. He first rejected the plan, but then followed it. It was a silly plan. He told him to go bathe in the Jordan. Jordan was a filthy river. But he told him to do it. He told him to do it. He was told what he must do, what must be done. He first rejected the plan, but then he followed it. Lessons of the Bible authority for an example. Nahum heard and sought the correct source of authority, God. Once the specific cure had been authorized, no other cure would work regardless of what Nahum thought. Oh, this is a good one. Hey, guess what? No other person in heaven, no other person can save you but Jesus. That's the cure for the heart, friends. That's the cure for the dark heart. That's the cure for man's total depravity. It's Jesus Christ. You might say, oh no, I got saved. I got saved worshiping a tree. I don't know what tree you was worshiping. But if you wasn't plugged into the God of Scripture, if you wasn't plugged into Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if you have not been born again of the Spirit, you're dead in your sin. You're still dead in your sin. Don't let the devil pimp you. Don't let him play you. It says, Nahum heard and sought the correct source of authority. See, man, we hear sermons after sermons after sermons, but are we hearing from God? Are we really, do we know that that person's spirit-filled? You can test them. You should. Every man of God that stands and preaches the word of God, even woman of God that gives you the gospel, you should be able to know if that person is spirit-filled. You don't know all what's going on in their life, but you should know if they come in the authority of God or if they're in the flesh. I've heard sermons where I know this person was in the flesh. They was not prepared when they preached this message. And I've heard people that I know without a doubt that message came from God Almighty, without a doubt. Once the specific cure had been authorized, no other cure would work regardless of what Nahum thought. God saves those who submit to His authority. You know why a lot of people don't receive, or they have to, you know, it's like they really don't, never really grasp hold to the gospel? Because they try to do, once they confess and quote unquote repent, they forget to pick up the word which became flesh and dwelt among us. See, Jesus didn't just give us this book to carry around in church. He wants us to carry it in our hearts. He wants us to meditate on it. He wants us to absorb it. He wants us to eat this bread and drink this water. This is it. Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now you have to feed upon the Word of God, which is able to transform you and make your life more like Him and less like you were. Too many people around here trying to figure out God without the Word of God. Like I said before, without application, you prove you have no dedication. With no dedication, who you serving? Who's your God? Who you living for? One of the greatest, and see, this is how Satan, this is one of the biggest tools that Satan will use to destroy us, our ignorance of God's word. He will blind you if you're not getting into the word and feeding your inner man, feeding the spirit man, then what do you think you're going to get out of it? What do you think you're going to get? 646-668-8468. We're almost finishing up here, friends. We're almost finishing up. How do we apply these lessons? The source of authority today is Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:18-19, we talk about, hey, He told us to go ye therefore and make disciples. He didn't tell me to go and save anybody. I have no authority to save anyone on this planet. But I can give you the antidote for salvation and life and godliness, that you may be a new creation. Old things will pass away, and behold, you will become a new servant of God, and it comes by way of you placing your faith in Jesus Christ. No longer are you to place your faith in yourself, in your mother, your father, sister, brother, uncles, nieces, nephews, but you're to follow after Christ, the one who is able to raise you up from the grave, from that dead state of mind. In Ephesians 2, we're told that we were enemies of God before the cross, but in Christ, we have been made new creations. We have been made and brought into a fellowship with Him. And when we became, when we've been brought into a fellowship, friends, we can say Abba Father, because we're not in fellowship with the Son only. The Son is the Savior, but it's the Father now. We have a relationship with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all three, the Trinity, is working together in our lives to make us more like Christ and less like what we used to be. I know, boy, if y'all had knew me, I wouldn't have been on here preaching this. I've been on here trying to hook up with somebody. But thank the Lord that I'm not who I used to be, because I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. The Bible contains the authority. Well, let me go back here. All authority, Colossians 3:17. says we must go to him if we are to find relief from sin. You might say, well, I still sin. Yeah, you still sin. I still sin. But guess what? Sin should not have master over us. Sin should not have authority over us, because guess what? We just learned we are under the authority of Jesus Christ. Do you think God didn't know what he was doing when he put in the plumbing in us? He was making us into butterflies, friends. He was changing us from caterpillars to butterflies as we go through the portal of regeneration. All you got to do is keep on striving and applying the word of God. You prove that you are a saint, a Christian, as you continue to seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness through the word of God. The Bible contains the authorized cure from sin today. No other cure will work, regardless of what man thinks. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's some good stuff, friends, knowing that the word of God is able to do all that. It can correct us. It reproves us. It gets deep in our business. Hebrews 4:4 tells us that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes in and it looks all in the cracks and crevices of our heart. Just like Jesus said, what goes into a man doesn't defile him. It's what comes out, because it comes from the heart. And what comes? Murders, malice, adulteries. These are the things that come out of us, because our hearts are sick. That's why we all needed a heart transplant. And when we come to Christ, friends, he gives us one. God will save those who submit to the authority of the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. And in none other is there salvation, for neither any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. No other name is going to do. And if you call Jesus Jesus, that's not going to do it. Yeshua, Messiah, if Jesus Christ is not Lord over your life, then you have no new life. If Jesus Christ is not the standard of your life, the daily function of your life, yes, we're going to have our bad moments, and we're going to miss the mark, we're going to have bad days, there's going to be times we're going to fail, we're going to drop the ball. I got that. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm guilty. But we're talking about someone that is that is seeking him on a daily basis. Seeking him on a daily basis. Conclusion. We gain valuable insight when we look at these great lessons of God's authority. Remember, when God specifies an item, all other items are excluded. When God gives a general command, we are authorized to fulfill it through expediency. God disapproves of progressing beyond his will and inventing new and innovative ways of worshiping him. You see this going on in many different churches all over the place. People are hopscotching, jumping rope. You know, they're doing all of the worldly things, and that's not what God requires. The Bible contains the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, our only authority for salvation today. Invitation, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you are a Christian this morning, or this evening, I should say, but have not been submitting yourself to God's authority, remember, Nadab and Abihu. Maybe you're serving in the church, but maybe your worship is something you add to it that's not of God. Maybe you're doing some things in there that's just not of God, and God's not receiving that. Just because he ain't dealing with you doesn't mean he's not going to deal with you. And you need to recognize Jesus Christ as your authority. You need to submit to his authority and obey his will to be saved by him. Hear the word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe with all your heart, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Maybe you say you got your faith in God, but what God are you talking about? What God is really, do you really have your faith in? Because see, you could have You can have faith in believing that there is a God. You can acknowledge like the demons do. James 2 tells us that many people say there's a God. They believe there is a God. Many people have a God. What we're talking about is God, are you under his authority by way of his word and his son, Jesus Christ? You must believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you must repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. You cannot live a lifestyle of just sending your brains out and acting like God is not going to deal with us. He is going to deal with us, friends. We're all going to have to give an account. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and God the Son. You must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way for you to be forgiven of your sins and trespasses, that you cannot get into the glory of God, the throne room of heaven, without going through the Son, Jesus Christ. And you must have a biblical understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He is not some puppet. He is not one of many thousands religious figureheads or prophets. He's the one that spoke this earth into existence and it came to be. He's the one that created all time and space, and without him nothing was created. And then you must be baptized. You must confess your sin, repent of your sin, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark 16:15-16. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray, Lord God, that this was a sweet-smelling aroma in your nostrils today, Lord. Nothing gives me more joy than to speak on your Son and talk about the grace and the love that you've given us by sending your only begotten Son down here to earth, that he would take on human flesh and die for sinners who did not deserve it. Lord, we ask right now, Lord, with all those who may have ears to hear, Lord God, that they may repent, confess, repent, and turn to the one true Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who is able to save our soul. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And we said amen. 646-668-8468. I'm going to take a couple of calls for those who might. I see we have some people on Periscope. 646-668-8468. I cannot read too well from your screen, so it would be best if you're in the United States, please call 646-668-8468 so that way I can hear your message and anybody else that's listening on Blog Talk Radio can be able to hear your question. I'm sorry, I can hear your question because I can't see as well as I should be able to. So if you have a question, you can call in now. 646-668-8468. Ravi, are you in the United States? Because I think I answered that. I cannot read your question as clear because of my eyes, so I would really prefer you to call in. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not in the United States. Okay, post your question up. Let me see if I can answer it. I wanted to be vocal so other people can hear the question. But you can go ahead and post it up. I want to thank everybody on Facebook Live. If you guys want to call in right quick, if you got prayer requests, write Dr. Zakir about the Bible. I'm not writing. I don't know who Dr. Zakir is, and he's not my Savior, so why am I writing him? And he's not, if he's not a, if, who is he? I don't even know who that is. Why do I need to write him? Telling me to write something. Nah, who is he? I mean, what authority does he have over me? Who is he? Just because he don't believe in the Bible, I'm supposed to take his word for it? Sorry. I have my own faith that I trust in the true and living God because of the Bible has proven itself to be true. So I don't need to listen to somebody that's anti-Christ that's going to try to discourage me from following what I've been following for years? Oh, no. My faith is solid. My faith is solid. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Mikey. Teso. God bless you guys. I hope you guys will come back tomorrow at 2 p.m. I'll be live, Periscope, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live. We will be back live, tomorrow. But I'll be doing a Facebook Live devotional in the morning sometime, probably between 7 and 8. I'm going to do a Facebook Live and our daily devotion that we do. I'm just trying to work with you, Ravi. I'm not sure what you're trying to get me to. What do you want me to call this guy for? Write him for? Who is he? Is he a Bible student or what does he believe? I don't know anything that you're trying to ask me to do or what it pertains to what we just got through teaching. So that much. I'll just say, hey, if he's not a Christian, he's a Muslim. Okay. Well. I don't have nothing to talk to him about because he probably wouldn't want to talk to me about it. And he's not going to change my view, and I'm not going to change his view. So all I can do is pray for him. And I'm not a scholar on Islam. I'm not even a scholar on Christianity. I'm still a student. So I'll just say that, hey, I'll leave that one alone. Let somebody that's scholarly talk to him. You can go talk to him if you want to. but for everybody else, friends, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I know you could have done anything else. You could have went anywhere else. I don't need to watch his videos, bro. I don't. I really don't. I got enough study materials, enough things to watch. So I'll tell you some videos you can watch though. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Let's not talk about Dr. Nakir. Let's talk about your faith. Who you follow? Who's your Messiah? Okay. So you're a Muslim. So how do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? I just want to know where. How do you deal with your sin? Where's your sin being taken to? Who atoned for your sin? I didn't ask you that. I asked you, how do you get to heaven? Where's your sin dealt with at? I'm gonna go ahead and cut this off. Anyway, friends, I want to thank those that was here that was blessed. See you, Brian, Narisa, Darkly. I'm not sure if y'all are still there, but God bless you. Thank you guys for coming today, this evening, and please share these messages. You can go on Blog Talk Radio 24/7 and listen. If you just link on to the just Google Minister Big Ken, and you can be able to minister Big Ken 65, and you got 24/7 access. And you can just tune in to those messages that I've done. We're currently going through the weekdays, we're currently going through the book of Proverbs. I'll be in Proverbs 17 tomorrow. And I want you guys to stop by and check that out. And you can catch it. If you don't catch it live at 2 p.m. on the Pacific Standard Time, you can always catch it during the week. I mean, catch it 24/7 after the blogcast is uploaded. And if you're being blessed, hey, share the messages with other people. And don't forget, friends, hey, I covered your prayers, but I really appreciate it if you can donate through the GoFund account. The link is on my Periscope as well as on Facebook, my Facebook page. If you can donate $5 or $10 a month we're trying to get our SSI and things going, I would really appreciate that. It's just a request, not a command. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do here, no matter what. And I want to thank everybody's here, even my Muslim friend here. Hey, I pray that God would open his eyes, that he would know Jesus Christ as his Messiah, and that he would know him in a personal way, an intimate way, that he would turn to Jesus, the one who is able to take away the sin that we all needed to be covered. And we ask Father God that you would just open the eyes of all who are blind and covered in religion, Lord. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Again, friends, if you're not on my Facebook page, friend me up on Facebook, Daryl Kendrick on Facebook, and I post a lot of good things up throughout the day. Have plenty of time on my hands to be able to share the word of God. So Daryl Kendrick with us, two R's, and I really thank you guys for being here today. And let me see. We're going to close out. And I want you guys to just have a blessed evening as we get ready. God bless you, Queso. God bless you. Bring me up. Bring me up.
Nobody greater. Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
last night. Mm-hmm.